Thank y'all for being here this evening. This is SHAC meeting number 2 for the 2025-26 school year. We'll go ahead and review our norms and expectations quickly. Remember that our purpose is to ensure that Bastrop ISD's school health programs reflect our local community values. We'll remain solution driven, take care of your needs. If you need to step out, take a call. I guess nobody's here with kids this evening. I was going to say, if you need to take care of your kiddos, you need to use the restroom, help yourself. And then make sure that in discussions we seek to understand before being understood. We will not be engaging in discussion this evening. However, I will let you know that if you have any bylaws that you feel need to be reviewed, amended, changed, that will be heard at our February SHAC meeting. So you can be looking back through those bylaws now and begin thinking about it. If you have one that you want to present in February, you'll just need to send an email to Garland 2 weeks ahead of time. So I think that'll be around February 13th that you'll need to get that into her if you want it to be on the agenda for February. All right, and we have no representation from our executive committee this evening, so I will just ask Tanya as chair-elect if you are in favor of approving the minutes from September. All right, is there anyone opposed? No, you're fine. All right, then we'll go ahead and adopt the September minutes. And then we have our link to the School Health Advisory Council. You can find that online at the Texas Health and Human Services website as well. And now we would like to introduce our new cafeteria. Is it, what's your title? Director of Child Nutrition?
Nutrition.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Stand up, come up, whatever you feel comfortable.
Hi, I'm Rachel. Nice to meet you. I see you're waiting on the service. Well, I just wanted to share a little bit about what we're doing with our program. In the last 10, 12 years, we've been under a food service management company, which means it was everything is run by an outside organization. What it does is it allows the district like less input, but also less responsibility of the food service program. Mm-hmm. Now that we're self-operating from the employees to the decisions that are made with menus to the staff that we chose to bring on was all part of BISD now, and that's a really exciting thing for our program. I think there was a misconception in the last few years that the food was like not made from scratch, and mm-hmm. I would say about 60% of our food is made from scratch, which is that's a really good amount. If you go to McDonald's, you're not, or even if you go to, I don't know, a nicer restaurant, if you order chicken nuggets, it's probably a bagged chicken nuggets. That's the same way. We're not cutting chicken nuggets and breading them, but we are making our pastas from scratch. The pasta sauce that we use a lot of like ground beef. We don't use any, there's other items that we kind of stay away from, raw items, but I think that's the biggest misconception. So, we're really working with our dietitian, with our executive chef, with all of our team to make sure that our staff is trained and that if there's any allergies, we're paying attention to that. So, yeah. Thank you. I have a lot more stuff, but we did a whole thing just kind of like what self-operating means. It gives us a lot of flexibility to be innovative, to grow the program in a way that's reflective of the students' needs and what they want, and what's popular, and also being compliant with the program so that we can keep our funding. So part of, like I said, part of it is moving from not a food service mindset, but more of a child nutrition mindset, where we are like really engaging with, like, you know, with students and with our district leaders to see what it is that they want from the program. And just a little bit more information about accountability to BISD. I think in the past few years, again, since the staff wasn't part of the district, there wasn't a lot of accountability. And by that, I mean like training and hands-on working with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's been really important to us this year. It's our first year, but we're hoping that in the next few years, we'll really see the program grow. And then we have Alvia. Alvia is our district dietitian. You want to say something?
Hi. It's nice to meet you all here. It's my first year at Bastrop, and it's been great. I've been here since beginning of August, and I've seen great changes here when we were self-op. It's a great transition, and it's a work in progress, but eventually everything's going to get settled, and once we have our software link settled, everything's going to be easy and compliant. But it's great to see how things are growing here and how our nutrition program is transitioning from processed foods,
mm-hmm.
to more of like scratch cooking, like healthier options, higher protein options,
mm-hmm.
Less saturated fat, less preservatives in our foods. So yeah, we're working on the recipes, and I'm really excited to see the changes.
And then we also have our executive chef with us.
Well, I'm Executive Chef Michael. Some of you already know me. I've been here with Tucker for 2 years. This is the first year that I'm here with Bastrop. I'm glad that I stayed. Like Alvia said and Rachel said, we're doing great things. I get to see it. I get to be part of it. A lot of the things that we get to do with the kids, we love. I mean, some of those pictures that were up there were kids in the kitchen that we just had. The menus are, I feel like, better. The 60% of scratch cooking that we're introducing to our kitchens and to our schools are really good. The kids are really liking it. So I'm just excited to see where it goes, and I know we're going to get far with it.
Y'all serve turkey legs, and the kids said that was gas. I don't know what day it was, but they loved the turkey legs.
it was a chicken leg, right?
I don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Is gas good? Is that I think
they're saying this is good. But that was the quote.
We also have a catering chef who really works on, like, is working with different departments to, like, we really want to build that catering. Different departments have meetings, and then I see, like, they purchase food. Why not purchase from us? Like, we can make the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Kayla, I'm really grateful for her, because Kayla was part of, she was the liaison between the food service management company and the district. And when I wasn't here, and so the entire, all of last year, she was really instrumental in building the program and just bridging the gap between the food service management company and the district. So if you want to share something.
Well, that's what I would have said. but I never thought that I would land myself in child nutrition, but I'm so glad to be here. It's definitely a learning experience, but I'm really enjoying it, and I'm just glad to be a part of the program.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I did want to share a little bit about some of the myths of school food, and some of them are that everything's processed, or that it's not fresh. All of our fruits and vegetables come in fresh weekly, sometimes bi-weekly, twice a week. We do have an amazing dietitian that's building our menus, but we're also all out there looking at food quality. We really pay attention to what the garbage is eating, what kids don't like, what they like.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share something that just recently we had a week where we did, it was a National School Lunch Week, and we menued certain things that we thought that the kids would like, and then we realized that there's certain things that the pre-K, even though we want them to try a chili verde bowl, they're not going to try that. They want a hamburger, because they're not going to be. So we immediately, like, Michael and Alia got together, and they changed that menu, like, from 1 week, and that was probably not something that would have happened with a food service management company. I'm trying to see. fresh fruits and vegetables. So we do something called offer versus serve, which means that the student doesn't have to take everything that's offered. So one of the things that we started doing in the beginning when I got here was like, we need to push something called, that I call pick three. So if a student brings a lunchbox from home, they can supplement their lunchbox with items in the cafeteria. So let's say they wanted milk. Well, if they just wanted the milk, we would charge them 50 cents for that milk. But they don't. We don't have to charge them if they take a milk, an apple, and a baby carrot. Those three items make a reimbursable meal, and we're able to claim that reimbursement, and they're able to supplement their lunch boxes. That's something that I don't think that there was a lot of awareness of. Obviously not, because even our team was like, oh, we can do this, because a reimbursable meal doesn't mean they have to take the entree. So again, some of the myths are that like if you see a cereal, it's high in sugar. No, it's not. It's you're seeing name brands of sugar, but it's formulated differently just to be sold in the K-12 environment.
Hmm.
So I don't know what else we have. One of the cool things that we're starting to do is we want to partner with local farmers, and these are things that other districts are doing. They're partnering with local farmers. Other districts are doing that to bring in like once or twice a month, like local produce. And what it does is it also helps it helps the farmer, right? Like kind of engage with the district and bring that in. And the one that we're starting to work with right now is called the Common Market. And that's something that Michael's actually piloting. He's starting to, and what Kayla and I are doing is just kind of making sure that the procurement side of it is in line with what our guidelines are. And our goal is in the next few months to start bringing in local produce once a month, and then like also purchasing rice. And that would rice and other staples that we could use in our menus that come from local farmers. So, and that ties into the food quality that we're trying to bring to Bastrop.
Nice.
So that allows us greater flexibility with menus, and like we just talked about, like changing the menu on the spot. Making sure that we have more fresh produce and that it's local. And then engaging our team so that we're constantly providing training to our staff. In the last few years, because the staff wasn't part of the ISD, if there was a staff development day, they missed out on that and they weren't getting that. And now every staff development day, we plan something for our kitchen managers. We plan something for our staff. Last month, Michael and Courtney and our training supervisor, we have one training supervisor, they actually spent time in the kitchen with the workers, and they went over recipes, what is the correct way to cook like some of our newer recipes. And we in the office, Alia had a training with the kitchen managers on why our menus are built the way they are. We did a production record menu training. We also went over how to forecast and how to plan so that we're being good stewards of the resources that we're given, so that we're not wasting food. I think that was the last one. And then that's me. So if you ever need to get a hold of me, that's my email. I have my cell phone number on everything, so if anybody needs anything, they can contact me directly on my cell phone.
Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. For those of y'all who just joined us, just kind of a quick summary. So one of the changes that happened coming into the 25-26 school year is that in the past, we've contracted with a third-party service payer to do our child nutrition services, and we've brought that in-house this year. So she was just kind of explaining some of the differences and why it's better for our kids to have somebody in-house. We've got a registered dietitian, we've got an executive chef, and so they're making lots of changes at the elementary, middle, and high school levels to help our kids with healthier options and being more aware of the food that they're putting in their body, and trying to engage with them and excite them about their choices and even potentially careers that involve food in some way by having days in the kitchen where they're making things too. So I love that, because I remember growing up, you know, it was just kind of like you went through the line and they dropped whatever on your plate, and sometimes you had to guess what it was. And so I think we've come a long way when it comes to really being intentional about what we give our children during the day to make sure they have the energy they need to do the
Absolutely.
Things that we want them to be able to pursue. So thank you very much for that. We're excited to see what comes next. All right, we do have an executive committee vacancy. Most of y'all will remember Jenny Marshall. She usually sits next to me here. She has been our district parent co-chair, and she let us know that there are some other volunteer opportunities she's wanting to pursue in the district, so she stepped down. So we're going ahead announcing that vacancy. If that's something that you are interested in, or if you know somebody who's normally here that isn't this evening and you think they'd be a good fit for it, the stipulations for a parent co-chair is that you have to have at least one child that's currently enrolled in a BISD school. They can't have graduated, they can't be coming to us in a few years, they have to be sitting in a classroom somewhere this school year. And you cannot get a paycheck from Bastrop ISD. And along those same lines, you can't work for a company that's financially associated with the district, just for the purposes of trying to avoid any sort of conflict of interest. So if you work for Gold Star, which is our transportation partner, or in the past if you had worked for Taylor, or if you are a contractor or a vendor that's providing a service to the district, like if you work for the construction crew that's building your new elementary campus, then you're not eligible for the parent co-chair position. But you can serve in the district in any type of non-paid capacity. So if you volunteer at MENA and you go in and you read to kids in the library twice a week, or you tutor sixth graders in math out at CCMS, all of that is totally fine. It just can't be something that you receive any type of financial compensation for. So any questions about who can apply for parent co-chair? Okay. At the February meeting, if we have at least two candidates, we'll go ahead and plan to present them and have the executive committee, if they're present, vote on a new person to fill that role.
Yeah, it's right there. Mm-hmm. And I can email this link.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And we also have our SHAC membership application. If anyone is not currently a member and would like to be, you can apply at that link and I can email that out as well.
All right, so this is our work time. Now, normally, Ms. Blum is our cheerleader for our Toyota Way Forward grant, and she had something come up this morning, so she told us she wasn't gonna be here. So since we've got a smaller group this evening, if y'all all wanna get together and plan, even though you might normally work on different subcommittees, that's completely fine. I also wanted to ask this evening, in the past we've had two subcommittees. We had curriculum and instruction, which we're working on the lessons for our pre-K-12 classes to have in March, which is Brain Injury Awareness Month, in their health or human development classes at the secondary level. And then we had a family engagement subcommittee that was working on events in the community that we could go and be part of, pass out information, maybe have like some demonstration booths set up for the kids to practice putting on their helmet and getting their buckle really tight and all of that. But I wondered if there was any interest in a third subcommittee, and I'm calling it community relations, but one of the pieces of this grant is that we're supposed to be putting information out where it can be accessed by our local community, but even by the global community. And so we would do that like in the form of a website, possibly some social media. And I know Jennifer has made the website, but she's doing so many other things for this grant that I think it's just kind of like, that's where it's at. It got made and then it just sat there. So I was just gonna see if there's anybody who's like really passionate about that, or you love getting on social media or those kinds of things. If there was any interest in forming that third community relations subcommittee. And if there's not, that's okay, because Jennifer is going to handle all the things in whatever time she can get to them. So, any thoughts on that? All right. Well, we will let y'all talk amongst yourselves, and then I think the only other thing that I needed to make sure I went over was the next meeting on the 24th, and then sending, sorry, I said earlier the 17th, but it's the 12th. If you want to be on the agenda to present a bylaw or bylaws for us to review, then you'll just need to email those to Garland. And if you have slides or whatever kind of presentation materials you'd like to bring for that, if you've got something that you know is done in another district and you think maybe we should be doing it the same way, if you want to put more of a focus on trying to recruit our students, because that's something we tried to build up last year, but it's still kind of a work in progress for us, anything like that, then we'll do that in February. Any other questions or concerns? Okay, all right, well then we've got work time, and when y'all are ready, then we can close out the session for the evening, and as of now, we got about half an hour, and if y'all don't want to take that long, you don't have to.